This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Remember, tomorrow we will be out in Rockville at Sports and Social Bethesda, North Bethesda. We'll be doing the live show. It's our Friday field trip series. Come on by and kick it with us. Should be an excellent time.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
On the line right now, we are fired up to talk to Alex Smith, of course, former quarterback here in the nation's capital, very successful, longtime NFL quarterback who's become handsome television gentleman. You can find Alex every Sunday morning on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown. Alex, thanks for joining us in D.C. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be on with you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. Alex, super quick question for you. We were in the other room. We heard our producer getting you on the call. How many times did he ask you, how are you?
I only think once. Did he ask a bunch?
It seemed like he said it three times in a row, and he was very nervous talking to you.
He seemed like he was super nervous about it.
It seemed fine to me. I didn't.
Oh, good. Okay, here we go.
He wasn't sure if you picked up on it or not. He's like, I'm pretty sure he noticed.
Because he goes, how are you? And anyway, how are you? Are you ready? How are you? And I was like, dude, he'll be fine.
I thought when he picked it up when you were on hold after he'd already put you on hold to say, how are you again? That was a bridge too far.
I didn't notice. So all good.
All right. Well, we appreciate you hopping aboard. There's a lot of ground to cover here. So why don't we just start with your thoughts on Jaden Daniels? I've been watching you on ESPN. You seem very impressed like everybody else. And how could you not be? But how is he doing this? You're a former number one overall pick. You know what it's like to make the transition. You also know what it's like to be here in D.C. where nobody could really break through the wall of 30 years of not winning. And suddenly, he and a lot of other people, frankly, have helped change this culture in one fell swoop. What do you make of this?
Oh, I mean, listen, you're asking the wrong guy. You're talking to the guy that threw one touchdown and 11 picks his rookie year. It was an absolute disaster of a rookie season. Like what Jaden is doing, honestly, it is unprecedented. And that's saying something, especially after the rookie season that C.J. Stroud had last year, which was arguably the greatest rookie season at quarterback, I think, for a top pick. And Jaden is one-upping that. And it's just remarkable. I mean, he's top five in every passing category there is as a rookie. They've turned the ball over three times as an offense in 9 weeks. I mean, that's the best since 1933. To say that with a rookie quarterback is absolutely absurd that he hasn't turned the ball over and put it on the ground and put it in harm's way. It truly kind of one of a kind. And then to be leading, you know, on a per drive basis, the most efficient offense in the NFL. And, you know, I think if there's one spot, I mean, this offense has been amazing, but if there's one area that it obviously could greatly improve, it'd be in the red zone, right? Like, I mean, I think they've struggled in the red zone. I think they're 26th in the NFL. With that being said, they're still the most efficient offense. They're the only offense in the NFL that averages at least a field goal per drive. What's not to like? I mean, he's been so composed. He's so good at, I mean, I think so accurate, throwing the ball downfield as well. And then, you know, when he wants to use his legs, I mean, he's as good as there is opening up. And so, man, like I said, I don't know what that's like to be playing like that as a rookie. But I don't think anybody does. I'll say that. I mean, I think he's in kind of his own territory, and obviously really happy for the organization and the city. You know, it's been a long time, I think, to be this excited, and it's deserved.
Well, Alex, I mean, you joke about it, and like a lot of young quarterbacks, you know, there were turnovers in your career, but it really became something you were really good at, which was taking care of the football, not putting it in harm's way, avoiding negative plays. And I think that's a skill, right? I think it's something that you know, to your credit, really developed over the course of your career. I just would love for you to try to quantify. You did a little bit, but really double click on it. The idea that not a 10-year veteran or not a guy like, you know, that went through the struggle of turning it over a bunch as a rookie, like a Peyton Manning or something like that, is already doing this to a record-setting pace of not turning it over, let alone for a rookie.
Yeah, I think really speaks to kind of his maturity and how ready he was for this and just his entire journey that led up to this season. Again, since 1933, think about that. I mean, how many people have come in the NFL? And this is not just for rookies. This is any offense. This is the fewest turnovers through nine games. And again, it's you just never see it, right? Like, and it's even little things: putting the ball on the ground, QB center exchange, ball handling with running backs. Like, stuff just happens, right? It takes a while usually to acclimate to a pro offense and pro speed, and that just hasn't been the case with Jaden, right? I mean, he's really just hit the ground running. And listen, I'm a guy that, like, you know, I shouldn't have been playing my rookie year. I'm a big advocate of certainly letting these guys sit and develop. And Jaden, though, man, has obviously shown that he's been more than ready for this. And, you know, and how quick this turnaround has happened. I mean, all of a sudden they're in contention. I'm so fascinated about the game this Sunday because, you know, they go get a win against the Steelers team. Like, you're really talking to them, I think, about a valid, you know, NFC contender. I think everybody's kind of waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, from this rookie quarterback. And again, that not believing that Washington could be this good. And you go beat a Steelers team this Sunday. Like, I think you kind of put some of that stuff to rest.
Alex Smith on Grant and Danny. I'm just thinking back to how we got here with Jaden or how it's been so good so fast. One of the things that I think I undervalued about the pre-draft process when trying to figure out how good he was going to be was that he played in 55 college games. Is this like a Jaden Daniels specific thing that he is this mature and this professional and this prepared? Or do you think that's something that should be baked into the algorithm for more teams moving forward, that he was a five-year college guy who played in 55 games?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly part of it, right? Like, and this was an unusual class. We saw it with Bo Nix, who made more starts than anybody, even, you know. Caleb obviously had been kind of basically a three-year starter in college. So a unique class in that standpoint from an experience, but it's not like every five-year starter all of a sudden is going to be successful in the NFL. I mean, these guys are individuals too, and you have to just go into so much of what is in their background, what motivates them. Are they ready for this? And, you know, clearly Jaden, you know, even just on all fronts from a processing standpoint was just so ready to handle this. And I think too, you really got to give your hats off to Dan Quinn, what he's done. You know, I think on the defensive side of the ball, it might be the most improved unit in the NFL, you know, so far this season, from where they started at the beginning of the year to the way they're playing now. You can just see how well coached this football team is. The moves that you know, Adam Peters has made, Frankie Louvu, like, I mean, this guy is a freaking stud. You go get him. You go make this trade to get Marshawn Lattimore. Like, they've just done some really nice things. I think the receiver room, you know, you talk about Noah Brown and Zacchaeus and these guys, like, there's just really good football players there. And so there's a lot that goes into this, but certainly, you know, quarterback's the most difficult position in sports, and to have gotten that piece so right at this point, obviously bodes well. It's why everybody's so excited. And again, it's deserved. And this Sunday, I think it's the game of the week.
Alex, is it a bridge too far or premature, maybe irresponsible, whatever word you want to use to put Jaden Daniels in an MVP conversation?
I mean, obviously it's strange to have it at this point,
yeah.
You know, week nine, like, we're only halfway through. So, but listen, it happens, right? Like, that's the media. They're going to talk about it. So if you stopped it, if it was the season was done right now, mm-hmm. He'd no questions in the MVP conversation. When you talk about most valuable players, right, like the difference, like if you took them out of that situation, how good would the team be? How he's playing, again, I said he's top five in every single major category, throwing the football and playing quarterback. you have to include him in that conversation. And now, listen, it's crazy because Jared Goff's setting records, Lamar Jackson's setting records. These guys, you know, obviously you got this guy named Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Josh Allen's playing great. All of these guys are in the conversation. But Jaden Daniels, I mean, listen, if the season was over today, yes, he absolutely has earned the right to be in that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Smith, outstanding work at ESPN. Make sure you check him out. A Monday Night Countdown, among some of the other programming that he's on with us on Grant and Danny. So you were not necessarily here for some of the worst of the times that we've been through over the last three decades, but you saw your fair share of what we'll call, just nonsense, right? I think your perspective is even more compelling to me because you were in the building. Like, you know how hard it's been to get this thing turned around in terms of, you mentioned Peters in year one, Quinn in year one. Like, it's staggering to me that the veil's already kind of been lifted on this thing. Is that just because there's new ownership, so it's possible? Like, if Peters and Quinn were hired 5 years ago, would this have been possible? Or is it just that you finally got the quarterback right? Like, how do you make heads or tails of it?
No, listen, I think that's why football in the NFL is the greatest professional sport there is. There's 1,000 variables that go into winning teams and losing teams and the difference. And so much of it does come down to people and getting the things right. And so it's all of those things. Absolutely. Ownership matters. It matters. It makes a big difference. Getting a functional formula, functional people that can work together and work as a team and put the team, before themselves, that matters. Right. And certainly when I got there in my time there, there was a lot of dysfunction, right. And a lot of it coming from the top. And, it's hard to overcome. And, I felt like I could, and I was in my 14th and 15th and 16th year. I was a old wily vet at that point and felt like I was equipped to handle it. I couldn't imagine, obviously, a young rookie quarterback stepping into that role. But
did you know it before you got there, too? Because you didn't sign there, right? You're traded there. You have the perspective.
Yeah, I traded.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, you'd heard stories, but again, you feel like you can be a part of the solution. And that's certainly what I believed during my time there. Like, you want to be a part of the change. And certainly the core of that team, a bunch of those guys that are still there, that's what sold me. I wanted to be a part of it. I saw certainly the opportunity and the room for improvement and liked what I saw, And again, I thought I could be a part of the solution and helping it turn. Unfortunately, obviously with my injury and, kind of getting pretty sidetracked with that, didn't really feel like I got a full shake out of that. But, obviously again, I'm still such a fan of that area, and that fan base. And so I know it was a long, few decades, and certainly happy for all the change that's taken place.
Alex, you mentioned sort of the functionality top down. I think this marriage for Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury has been perfect. Right, just the way that they're running the football, they're taking, and it's not to take anything away from Daniels, like each one's complimenting the other. Just seems it's always the right play call. Just seems it's always the right thing at the right time, and the right ideas and concepts. I'd love for you to go into that, what you're seeing from those two.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't have Jaden doesn't play the way he does without great scheme and coaching, and you don't have one without the other. It takes both, and I think Cliff Kingsbury, to go back to his, this was an air raid guy when he was at Arizona with Kyler, and they played more 10 personnel than anybody in football, and they were always in the shotgun. And to see what they've done now, I mean, Washington's one of the most balanced offenses in the NFL. And again, I mentioned how efficient they are. They average more points per drive than anybody. You start looking at them historically, they're up there with, You know, it's the best of the Patriots teams, the fast break on turf Rams teams. Like, they are playing at such a high level, and they're so balanced. And again, I think I've just seen so much growth from Kliff. Multiple tight end sets. What a great rushing football team this is. And obviously the creativity to build some really interesting concepts around a quarterback that has a lot of tools. And so I couldn't agree more. I think it's been a great marriage, and obviously it's shown up on Sunday. And again, they got a huge challenge though this week. This Steelers defense is for real. I think they're number two in points per game given up, and they are stout. So I can't wait to see that chess match.
Specific to Pittsburgh, if you're going up against a team with T.J. Watt or a player like him, I mean, he individually has wrecked a couple games. I think he, like, single-handedly make the Falcons look awful in week one, and everyone was like, this team stinks. And it's like, well, T.J. Watt just kind of wrecked their day. But do you quarterback differently or, like, change the clock in your head for those games? Or, like, what's your prep like and then your game plan for not letting that guy beat you when you're in the pocket?
No, listen, usually, as a quarterback, I mean, you know those guys are there, right? You can't turn on the film and not know that T.J. Watt obviously is a force to be reckoned with. But certainly, I think the way you build the scheme, that should take care of itself. There's a job to do, and I don't think you're going to live one-on-one blocking him a lot of the time. And as a quarterback, you can't be focused on D-linemen, otherwise you don't have a chance at success. I think you do realize, listen, you better have good ball security in the pocket. Right, this is a disruptive D line that has caused a lot of turnovers, especially the last 4 weeks. And so, I think if there's something you can do fundamentally, it's like certainly being sound with the ball in the pocket. But other than that, you got to go let it rip. You know, you got to go play football. Your attention's downfield, especially when you're throwing it. You can't be concerned with defensive ends and outside linebackers. You know, you got to again, I think, let the O line and the scheme and tight ends and backs, whoever's involved in that. They got to do their job and you have to do yours. And there's a trust that goes on there. And then I think that one of the amazing things obviously about Jaden is that sometimes when the pass pro doesn't hold up, that he's good enough to still go make a play. Cause he's a special, special player, obviously when it comes to his legs and being able to get out of trouble. So I'm going to need it probably again, cause this is a good defensive front, not just him, you know, Highsmith on the other side, Cam Hayward in the middle has always been one of the most underrated, I think, interior D linemen. You know, they just go trade for Preston Smith. He's going to get it. You know, he's going to be returned into Washington. I'm sure he, you know, would love to get back there as well. So, again, I think all the way around, just going to be an awesome matchup.
Alex, just for you as a guy that played offense at such a high level for so long, how did you like to attack? I mean, obviously, you just mentioned it. They got a bunch of really good defensive players, so it's not like it's a one-man band over there. But just take someone like T.J. Watt, for example. Was your philosophy, let's double him no matter what? Or is it like let's make him accountable in the run game a whole bunch, make him deal with pulling guards and be physical with him, try to wear him down? Like, what did you like to do to try to counteract a pass rusher like that?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's any one thing. Like, listen, you don't want to be dropping back seven-step drops,
right?
And one-on-one blocking him a whole lot, right? I think you got to be sound in your schemes. You got to be chipping him and got to get even just lining up a tight end over there helps, believe it or not, right? Like, just some interference. Yeah, you gotta make him play football too. You can't let him pin his ears back and rush the passer all day long, right? Like, they want to play with the lead. That's what the Steelers want. You got to mix it up on him. You got to, you know, keep it balanced. And then I think just in generally, not just him, but this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, you have to match their aggression. This is an aggressive defense that wants to dictate tempo and the pace of the game. And you have to match it, right? Like, I don't think you can go the other way. You have to have your foot on the gas. And listen, they're going to make some plays, but you hope when you make yours, you make in big plays too, to kind of counter it. I do think you kind of have to match that aggression, so to speak.
Alex Smith will be on Sunday NFL Countdown this week. He's also part of a feature on the Center for the Intrepid, the Veterans Hospital, where he rehabbed the leg injury that he suffered back in 19 into 20. And while we have you, I just want to say, I think a lot of us knew how serious that was. We thought on the surface, you know, knew it was different than a normal break. But it really wasn't until some of those documentaries and things that you did, the E60 stuff, came out, just how unbelievable what you went through and persevered through was.
Here, here.
So having been here and on the air throughout that entire thing, man, we knew it was a grind to get back and that it was an awful injury. We had no idea what we didn't know, though.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't know what I was in for either. You know, you hear about broken bones all the time in the NFL, and obviously I had no idea about the complications of a broken tib fib
And then when the infection set in and things got really sideways and I went septic and, you know, for a long time, you know, they were talking about cutting off my leg and went through, you know, numerous surgeries to try and keep it. You know, it's you never expect that to happen when you're playing, you know, you're playing professional football. And, you know, in the time, it was a long time where I felt sorry for myself and, you know, how did this happen and poor me. And you mentioned the Center for the Intrepid. It's a place I was lucky enough to get this designation for civilians to go down to this military rehabilitation center. And it absolutely changed my life and changed my rehab. And there's no way I'd come back 2 years later if it wasn't for that place and the people down there. And so it was really cool that the ESPN sent me down there to do the feature on it. Actually, I was just down there, and again, trying to shine a light, obviously, on a special place and special people. And again, everything that it's kind of about, and such a part of my life forever. And so, yeah, very cool. And obviously, you know, I was scared to death when I signed up for the documentary, you know, because again, they were talking about cutting off my leg, and the outcomes were not optimistic. And I'm so fortunate that it went as far as it did, and that I was able to, you know, lace up cleats again and go back onto the field. And I get asked a lot why I did it, you know, but for me, you know, I'm so much of a better dad and husband and friend, having gone through everything, and obviously incredibly grateful that I'm, you know, that where I'm at and grateful for every day and that I kept my leg and that, you know, I can go do the things I can do. So, you know, again, wild, wild ride, and that will air this Sunday. So, obviously, with Veterans Day coming up, it was kind of a cool way to shed some light on a special place.
It was an incredible journey. We'll be watching for sure. We'll let you go on this. We can't keep you any longer, but I do want to ask you one thing that you probably don't even know existed, but I do want to get your thoughts on it one way or the other. So when you were here, I want to say this was probably during the recovery, but maybe it was soon thereafter. I don't remember. I think there was like a game when you and Urban Meyer were in the box, and there were these like rumors, because you were sitting watching games with like Bruce and Dan at one point, that like you were going to be a future front office guy and like the GM, and you were like working into this role here where you were going to be some like Dan Snyder advisor GM. Did you ever hear any of those rumors, and did that ever get to you, and or was that a thing?
You know, listen, I remember hearing the rumors when I was up there. Like, I was in the middle of my rehab. I had a metal cage stuck to my leg for a lot of big part of this. And even that, remember watching the games from up there. And you know, Urban happened to be in town that day and came to the game, and obviously amazing to see him. But
and then the story that night was Urban Meyer is going to be their coach and Alex Smith is going to be their GM. Like that was
the story. All crazy rumor. Listen, I was so focused on my rehab and trying to see how far it would go and when that road would end. And that was my singular focus, and it was the only way that it actually happened. I in no ways had any intention of doing any front office job, nor do I now. So. No. Pure crazy media speculation.
A lot of fun. Alex, this was great, man. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend.
Same, guys. Great to be on.
You got it. Thank you. And we'll be watching this weekend. There's Alex Smith on Grant and Danny. Always been such a good dude, man. Well-respected around the league.
Tough as nails. You kidding me?
The documentary is still one of the most incredible just sports journalism things I've watched.
Your jaw drops. You know, like, wait, what?
The images of his leg. I don't want to get graphic. I don't want to get into them.
Can't unsee it.
My wife still mad at me that I tricked her into seeing it. She wouldn't look at it. So, like, the next day, I'm like, oh, look at the baby. And then I show her, like, Alex Smith's leg. She still brings that up whenever she's upset at me.
It's about trust.
That I did that to her.
Yeah, it's violating trust. God.
I just would have said, take my leg.
I don't know what I would have done.
You know, like.
I don't know.
The guy played. And he's got Aaron Donald jumping on his back.
So that's part. And then this was, I said this at the time. I tried to distinguish this. That was a me issue. And I don't mean the Alex Smith playing football part. Like, I couldn't handle it. I was so squeamish and so uncomfortable with the idea. So having seen what I saw, that's the initial injury. That's the leg in question. Like, I saw it, dude. I saw that spiral thing that looks like scaffolding around. And oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then he's moving up in the pocket.
He's back.
And Aaron Donald is coming around. Oh, my God, Aaron Donald jumping on top of him. I'm going, like, this is it.
By the way, that's how you know football is, like, not for normal people or is, like, modern day.
I ain't wired for
gladiators,
it.
Whatever it is. Because Aaron Donald tested that leg. Like, he could have just been like, Oh, there's Alex Smith. Let me tackle him. Nope, I'm getting all my body weight. I'm jumping on him, and I'm twisting.
It's the new Aaron Donald backpack. Comes with the force of 1,000 kilotons.
When you think about it, it's actually kind of messed up what he did. A little bit. But it's football, and it's the NFL, and you're out here, so we're about to find out.
It's not a thumb war.
Dude. And by the way, like, he was not the kind of quarterback that I like to watch. It's very conservative, and we're not taking shots, and the offense, it wasn't really even just his fault. They did not have a good offense. It was not like he or the offense were lighting it up, were prolific in any way. Having said that, post-injury, Alex Smith was actually my favorite version of Alex Smith here. If you go back and you watch the Detroit game and some of these games where he'd come in, I want to say it was like him bailing out, they would bench Haskins and bring him in or something. That was as good as, he was lighting it up and he was putting up numbers and their offense was humming and they were better with him after that injury than they were really before it when it was, you know, one touchdown every 2 weeks and a cloud of dust.
Wasn't he really good in that Steelers game where we beat them on that weird,
he
had Tuesday,
that
Wednesday
throw.
Night?
Was it to Cam Sims? Down
Cam
on
Sims.
Third and something?
The silly Cam Sims one-handed catch.
That was the throw for Alex Smith here in D.C.
Pittsburgh was like 11-0.
Yeah. And they put on a day and a half's rest or whatever it was. So the game was a Wednesday or something.
I think they had like a Thursday game and then played Washington on a Tuesday or something like
that. Yeah, because
that can't be right.
No, seriously, it was something like that. It was all COVIDed. Because the Ravens.
Yeah, but the Sunday game got canceled. It got moved to Tuesday, and then maybe they played again the following. I don't remember. I know they played I think they played 4 or 5 days earlier, and then they played Washington in this early week game, and they lost, and the Commanders won. And they were not named that. Those are the things that I remember.
That was WFT.
Thank God for that.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the first of the two names that weren't Redskins that they've had.
Yeah, okay, I got it. They played Baltimore on a Wednesday. All right?
Okay, the Wednesday
So it was before. So that got pushed back, and it was weird.
I think there was an outbreak with the Ravens.
Remember the old rules about testing? It's like you got to wait 4 days now, and then you wait 6 days to call your baby. What are you going to call your baby? 6 days, and 2 days to call yours and leave a voicemail.
Bob, we had a baby. It's a boy.
Right. Then they played Washington on a Monday. That's what happened. And lost.
On a Monday. That was cool. Good to have Alex Smith on the show. Speaking of great interviews, Charles Davis tomorrow. We love talking to him. To get us ready for the Commanders and the Steelers on Sunday. We will be out and about. Again, you got to come see us tomorrow. We are in North Bethesda. It's Rockville, Sports and Social Bethesda. The Friday Field Trip Series. We'll have some gifts to give away to our listeners. First come, first serve, which will be cool.
From Bethesda!
Should be a great time. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. Darris Dameron.
Darris Dameron.
He's right over there.
It's Darris Dameron Day.
He's going to go eat some crab cakes. Enjoy seafood and peanuts tonight because he's not allergic. For him and Ryan, Grant and Danny saying so long. Thanks for listening to The Fan.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.